Okay, perfect. Now we're starting. So, oh yeah,
Great.
we haven't even really discussed what we're gonna call the podcast yet.
No. Well, we were gonna do that after.
Okay, no
This
worries.
that's the second item on
Okay,
my list.
perfect. Perfect.
Yeah,
I
so
mean,
Elena, do you wanna introduce yourself first?
all right. Hi guys. My name's Elena, and you might know me from my stream if you're here from there. Twitch.tv/Elena. Make sure to go check it out if you've never heard of it. We play a lot of chess in New York City.
Nice, nice.
Welcome to our first episode.
Awesome. Thanks, Elena. And I'm Dylan Quercia, Coach Q. I'm a chess coach primarily, but I've also gotten into the journalism and I'm now a filmmaker with my film King Chess. Shameless plug, go check it out. And I'm excited to start this podcast with you, Elena. It's my actually, I didn't tell you this before, but it's my second attempt at a podcast. I tried to start a science podcast about, I don't want to age myself, but years ago. And so, but I'm excited to get
What was
into
your
this. And
podcast about?
it was basically about, popularizing science.
Okay. So,
I think
will
I
this
did. I
podcast
did.
be about popularizing chess?
Yeah.
Even more,
Yeah, that's
right?
right.
You know, it's
You
trend
should.
chess is trendy right now, but it's still technically a niche for the most part. So,
Yeah, there's so many people are like, huh? What's chess? I mean, you. Well, okay, we don't get that anymore. That was like a
right.
decade ago.
I didn't know that
But
that was a
now
thing. I
they.
thought everybody always knew what chess was, but like didn't know how to play.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Most people knew what chess was because, there have been big popular movies going back to the 90s and things like that with Searching for Bobby Fischer. But yeah. That's like my goal in life is to popularize chess. And you've been doing a fantastic job. I've been doing a mediocre job.
What do you mean? You have a
No,
movie coming out. What do you mean mediocre?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No.
But it's been my passion in life, and it's given me a lot of purpose, right? So, and you're just killing it on Twitch. That's why I want to do this podcast with you, and you're just a great personality, and it's good to have fresh faces in the chess world and bring
Yeah,
new people in.
exactly. I definitely do think that we bring two different perspectives into, I guess, chess in general, right? You have been playing chess since one.
That's a good question. I've been playing chess since I was about 10. So it's 28 years now, so
28 years.
I will age myself now. I'm getting old. You can see the graying in my beard, so whatever. But I'm still young at heart. But yeah, I've been playing chess for a very long time, and I'm officially an expert. So, which all that means is that I was good enough to have a shot at becoming really good, but then I just messed around and had too much fun with my
But
life.
you still got a title. I mean, tell us before you get into the title, tell us a bit more about your chess background overall. You've been playing for a really long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, tell us about that journey and the progress.
Yeah, I mean it's been amazing, honestly. I picked it up in junior high, and I played so I could win root beer. It was really exciting to play and try to beat all my
So
classmates
did you
because so
win
I
the
would
root
get.
beer?
Oh yeah, and we got.
Hell yeah, let's
Oh, that was
go.
my first podcast. I had a show that I recorded on a tape recorder on the bus with my friend Gabe. We called it In the House.
What year was this?
This is like
On a
way
tape
back, way back.
recorder.
Yeah. But it was my dad's old tape recorder. Yeah, I found it in the closet. Anyway, that was pretty stupid, but that was just fun horsing around. And then I got serious in high school. And joined my high school chess club, and when I found that I was playing all night online, by the way. By the time I was like 14, playing on a website called chess.net. I played on ICC a little bit, but there was another one called chess.net that had a better platform, which they tried to monetize from free users, and then they failed without giving anything extra. Anyway, so then I became captain of my chess team and competed. And then I played in, a little bit in college, but got into coaching in college. And then when I moved out here to the West Coast, I couldn't find a job in my field in science, basically. I have a degree in biology. And, well, I could find a job, but they were trying to pay me $15 an hour to drive, like, hour and a half a day. So I was like, no. And I got a job teaching kids at a nonprofit, and I just, it, my career has taken off from there. It's just been amazing, honestly. Like, to be able to make a full-time living playing and teaching chess, just right. Awesome. And I didn't get really good until I came to LA, when I started playing for the Metropolitan Chess Club and eventually joined their team. And yeah, and then I wrote three kids' books and became an expert at the same time. I had a shot at National Master because I was competing well with like 2,400 players in like 2015, but then some life events and all kinds of stuff kind of sidetracked me. I eventually want to reach National Master, but it's not that big of a goal now because I'm, you know, making these films and doing these
popular
things.
Yeah, you're working on a lot of other stuff. But when did you start competing in tournaments?
Not till I was like, well, I it was still kind of early in relative terms, like 12.
Okay, 12. And did you like continuously compete or just stop for a while?
On and off. It was on and off. In college, I didn't play hardly at all.
Right, so when did you get your title?
Not until I was 32, I think.
32,
I didn't become
an
expert until I was like 32. I had a real tough time breaking through 1900.
Right.
And then, because I shot up to 1900 really quick, and then I plateaued there.
Right. We definitely need to discuss that more in another episode about you hitting 1900 and what you think was, I guess, what was the obstacle to, you know, going up from there? Because you said it took a while. And I'm sure there are plenty of people here who might be curious about, you know, what it takes to, I guess, get to the next level from 1900 USCF.
Tons of games and working with strong players. That's the short answer.
Well, there you
but
go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should talk about that. And and you've been playing for a very short time, really.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how long have you been playing for?
I have not been playing for long at all. I think it's been... So, I started playing August of last year. And so that, what, that's like 19 months or something like that. Anyways, less than 2 years so far. But
yeah, that's
I'm
amazing.
That 2 year mark soon. And, you know, I did have some success with chess, at least in improving. Since I was able to... Well, I reached 1800 chess.com around, you know, January this year. But, you know, it's definitely been much more difficult going up from there because now it's all about the hard stuff, you know? It's about the tedious stuff. For a while, it was about tactics, and that's fun, you know, setting tactics. And then you get into planning, and you start analyzing master games, and you realize that they plan so many moves ahead, and they always have a plan. And to always have a plan, especially in our chess culture today, where it's mostly about playing blitz and rapid online, right? Which is really short form chess. And that short form chess makes it extremely difficult to focus on planning, which sometimes, you know, especially when you're beginning to really plan and strategize, it's not enough time. And that's, I think, been the biggest obstacle towards my improvement recently. But yeah, I have not been playing that long. My first tournament was in the Las Vegas Chess Festival last year where I met you. And
yeah.
I did do very good. It was hard transitioning from online to over the board. So I lost, I think, my first or second game. But then I did win 10 out of 12 of my games. So that was
crazy.
That was nice.
Amazing.
Well, to be fair, I'm still salty I lost the one of them because I forgot to punch in the clock. That's the time and the clock seem to be my biggest problem. But, you know, you know, I'm still improving. And now that I'm here in New York City, I get to play and compete in tournaments frequently because of the Marshall Chess Club, which holds multiple tournaments, you know, every month.
Yeah,
so
it's so cool
that
you
great.
Live right by it. And you
yeah,
can go
because,
there.
I mean, it's, you know, another topic to cover in the future is really tournaments and the price of tournaments and how, you know, to go to a tournament when you're traveling, you know, it's $1,000+. So like it's a lot.
Right.
The tournaments that I went to after the Vegas Chess Festival, I mean, they both, you know, like costing me around $1,500, right? For like 2-3 days. So yeah, that is not cheap.
And that's normal. Yeah, when you go to a big tournament like that, that's exactly how much it costs.
So,
okay, I want to pause for a second because I forgot to give the warning. For any of my students that watch this, if you're under 18, go home, turn this off. This is an irreverent version of Coach Q. So you need to not watch this. And if your parents get mad at me, I'm going to tell them, I warned you. Don't watch this until you're 18, because I want this to be just kind of real talk. And for our adult audience, I mean, you know, if, you know, kids will, you know, teenagers might sneak in, it happens, but I want to have some fun with it. So can we switch gear real quick too?
Yeah.
And go to highlight the culture of chess and, and bring in topics that are rarely discussed as well. You know, we could talk about a lot of different stuff, you know, from,
right.
That's probably another question too, is like, what, are there any issues we want to have off limits or?
Yeah. And I was thinking, do you want to do 18 plus or like 14 plus?
Oh yeah, we can do 14 plus.
I think that might be appropriate too, right? Yeah. So,
I just will likely swear at some point. So.
I think 14 plus okay for swearing these days.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's good. Yeah,
so
that's good.
Shouldn't be an issue. Larger demographic, you know.
So, Elena, what do we want to cover in this podcast? Right, like, what do you want to cover?
Well, I definitely do want to have some interviews with important people who contribute to the chess community overall. I think that'd be a lot of fun. But of course, I do think that it would be really cool to also discuss about, you know, the popular events going on in chess, like the Las Vegas Chess Festival, which, you know, is really huge and it's a great place for anybody, right? Like even a casual chess player to go and play chess. Like there's all sorts of, you know, people in all sorts of parts of their lives, basically, if that makes sense. And so I do think that it would be really, really cool to
the Las Vegas Chess Festival is really the first
to cover
thing.
That and, you know, to cover
super cool
Marshall Chess Club as well, since I'm from New York, would be amazing. Maybe get some people to interview from there too, because I mean Marshall has huge history in chess and it has contributed to chess in the US a lot as well. And so I would definitely love to, you know, cover certain organizations and certain clubs like that one. And then, you know, just, you know, maybe like even like some smaller parts of chess overall too, right? Like the online chess community or something.
Sure,
like that.
Sure, yeah. And yeah.
So,
well, the online chess community is big now.
Okay, so yeah, big now, I guess.
I wouldn't
you can
call
say.
That small. But there's nobody actually just talking about, you know, what's going on online. I guess, you know, Karu does somewhat, but.
What were you thinking? Like, what do you like? What direction do you want to go with this podcast?
You know, one thing I would love to bring in are some voices that aren't traditionally heard in the chess world. Maybe some members of the LGBTQ community, and then, you know, I want to platform as many women as we can. Like, I really want to diversify chess in general. It's like been one of my big projects. So. That would be great. And maybe even controversial topics, you know, controversial topics.
So you want to bring politics into chess?
So
is that what we're discussing here, or like
boring politics?
Right, like controversial things going on in chess overall.
Yeah, if there's anything controversial,
like spicy,
you know,
things.
Like
okay,
cheating. Yeah, spicy. Yeah. Yeah, we should get some spicy chess topics.
Yeah, why not? That sounds great. Bring the news to the people.
So, yeah, I mean, and then, of course, like we talked about, interviewing people. That's one of my favorite projects in life in general. I don't know if you've heard of there's a famous Chicago journalist named Suds Terkel. He's kind of strangely unknown for the work that he did just amazing work, like interviewing just regular people but people from all over the spectrum, and it's just amazing the work that he did. So he's kind of been my like hero, and then of course Terry Gross, who's she has a longtime show on NPR, basically. She did amazing, amazing work. She's interviewed like everybody you can think of. That's actually one thing I'd like to do is interview some celebrities too,
That would be great. Absolutely.
and like ancillary celebrities, like bring in people from outside the chess world that just like chess, you know, and talk to them about chess and how they see the chess world. I think that'd be quite fun.
Absolutely. That sounds really interesting. I'm totally down for that.
Yeah, and along with that, Elena, I wanted to ask you, would there be anybody that you'd love to interview?
Anybody that I would love to interview. You know, I'm really, really bad at being asked questions on the spot about music, movies, people. I'm just like I blank out. But anybody I would love to interview, like outside of the chess community.
Or that are ancillarily in the chess community. Like I'll give you an example. I'd love to interview the Wu-Tang Clan. Like they have the one of their most famous hits is The Mysteries of Chess Boxing. And like that's like one of the coolest things these days. Like everybody loves chess boxing. And there's chess boxing in my film, by the way.
Oh, heck yeah. Yes,
shameless,
so
shameless
when
plug.
is your, when are we going to watch your film? Like, when's all of that going to be
Everybody
ready?
should just go to kingchessfilm.com.
Yes, exactly. Go to King
So
Chess.
yeah, but those are the kind of people I'm talking about, like big wish list people. Let me see if there's anybody else that would be on the wish list. Like maybe I heard Scarlett Johansson plays chess,
Now that would be
so
great.
I would love to interview her. I actually know another famous Marvel star. I'm trying to get her to agree to an interview, but you know, life events and things. So she said yes at first, but then said no.
Oh, darn
Sad.
it.
Yeah.
Well,
So is there anybody? Is there anybody that you would love?
anybody that, I honestly have no clue. I'm trying to think, but I feel like I know like three actors. You know what I mean? And the rest I just don't know. But maybe there will be somebody in the future. But I'm so bad at keeping up with all of that stuff.
So, what about in the chess community then? Is there anybody that you actually
In
think
the
you would?
chess community. I mean, there's so many cool people in the chess community that'd be really, 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 fun to interview overall. I would love to interview Judit Polgar. Because I feel
Oh,
like I have
great.
such I have a lot of questions for her, from when she was younger and she was playing chess. Like I'm really interested to hear about her overall experience in it. And
Awesome.
so that'd be great. And then obviously Irina Krush, considering, she just
Ooh.
recently became a GM. And I did have the luxury of meeting her at the Marshall Chess Club.
Oh, cool.
She was there.
That's
Basically,
excellent.
doing a panel. And she is really, really cool. And I think that she also exerts a lot of confidence. And I really like that about her. And I feel like that definitely helps when it comes to a game like chess. If you think about it, it could definitely, it's it, chess is very confidence crushing. It crushes you, like your self-esteem a little bit. So I do think that, I do believe that in order to like really thrive at chess, you have to have a lot of confidence,
It's true.
because you're gonna
So
lose a lot of it.
you
So,
named two of my favorite players, by the way.
oh, awesome.
Polgar and Krush.
Okay.
Polgar was like a lifetime interview get for me. I interviewed her for my film,
That's
and
great.
that was like a full circle moment because she inspired me when I was young. She was like always in the chess magazines when I was like a teenager. So that was an amazing interview, but I've never interviewed Krush. So like we got to get that. We're gonna get Krush.
Oh, we gotta
So
get her.
everybody, we're getting Irina Krush sometime in the future.
Yes, no, that'd be great. It would be interesting to interview someone like Ding Liren as well. I think would be really cool.
Ooh.
So,
That one's much harder.
I
But I think
definitely
we can
believe
get it.
that. How about
We can
you?
get
Do you have
it.
anybody who you would want to interview in the chess community?
In the chess community. I mean, I've never interviewed Magnus. That's like a
Oh my
lifetime,
gosh. Does he even do
a
interviews?
lifetime
Like
thing.
I feel like I haven't.
He's done a lot more recently.
Okay.
Chess.com has gotten him for multiple interviews.
Okay.
So, Magnus, come on. This is gonna be way more fun than those stuffy guys. Come on, Magnus. We gotta come on this show. We'll get. Sorry, I didn't mean to insult all my friends at chess.com. Sorry, chess.com. I want to be friends with everybody. We can all be friends. But yeah, that's a hard one though. I mean, he just does whatever he wants because he's the king, so.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And he wants to play poker more these days, so.
Like all chess players, just love poker.
Okay, I think we've covered a couple good topics here. I think we had one more item on the list for today, which was, are there any issues or stories that you want to cover that don't get much attention in the chess world?
Issues or stories. I mean, I definitely want to talk more about the culture of chess in general, from like a social perspective, if that makes sense. Like,
Sure.
it would be really cool to maybe discuss the psychology of chess as well.
Yeah.
And so really, discuss how chess affects you psychologically, perhaps, and
Right.
also maybe how maybe like even the science behind it too. Like if you think about it, it would be really cool to like learn and to see how it alters your brain, because we know that it does that, right? Like, in
Right.
chess you're doing a lot of problem solving, you're doing a lot of critical thinking. And so there are a lot of benefits to chess. So I think that it might be interesting to discuss that, and obviously just
Well, that's
overall the psychology of chess.
speaking. Yes, you're speaking my language there. That's what I love. This is that's
Same
my
here. So I
other.
think that would be awesome if we can do something like that. And we can also talk about the people of chess. So we can
Yeah.
talk about the personalities that chess,
Oh, nice.
personalities of people in chess. And because I've like recently learned there's all types of people in chess, but you still have like your main types of people, and that might be interesting to kind of touch on a little bit.
I just thought of something funny. I don't know if this is gonna work. It might be really too cheesy. So you could always shoot down anything that's really stupid cheesy because I teach kids, so I'll just veer strangely into really dumb cheesy things. But how about we have a segment called Magic Wand, where if we could fix one issue in the chess world and you have a magic wand, you can magically fix it. What would you pick for that episode?
What would I pick?
No, I'm putting you on the spot again. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
Oh man, I
This is
mean
episode zero.
like from a being a content creator, from that point of view, the one thing I would fix is I would love if ch the chess community, like the organizers, they were, I guess, more into bringing attention to chess and like media attention to chess, because as some of you may know, I've definitely had difficulties with streaming chess, like streaming the tournaments, because one of my goals is to bring the tournaments to your viewer, right, at home. It doesn't need to just be people at the tournament. Like, bring attention to those games, because a lot of times they're super interesting. But the barrier or the obstacle I often have to deal with is being told no, like I can't do that for no like real reason, to be honest. So I think that one big problem overall in chess is this I don't know, this lack of desire to progress maybe a little bit, like to
Yeah, I
modern
think it's
times.
because of people sit on their own little ant hills and they have these little fiefdoms, basically. These tournaments are their own little, like, for lack of a better word, country almost. Like they're having a little their own little country. They're like, I control all the rules here, so you do whatever I say, and it's just obnoxious.
And so I have not had good experience with that, and I feel like it shouldn't be that difficult. Chess is something that like we should thrive to grow, and that's one of our goals here, right? Like one of our main goals to kind of bring it to more people, to maybe you're more of a casual player as well, because in my opinion a lot of the content is for experts almost, or like very high level players, right? And like I ran into these issues, like Even commentating for chess.com, which I did recently for some of the tournaments, one issue I remember is that a lot of people, they seem to think that unless you're an expert, you have a no right or no voice in chess, if that makes sense. And I think that's a huge, huge flaw of the chess world to have that mentality, because most people are casual players too. Do you know what I mean? And to be able to provide content for them as well is extremely important. Like, content should not just be for your top players, like, or a lot of the chess content out there, like commentary, whatever else, even tournament games. It doesn't just need to be for like the master players. Like, I think it would be great to bring attention to, somebody who's maybe more on like a mid-level or like a lower level, if that makes sense. And I don't
Yeah,
know,
no, it does. And
bring
you
attention to
mentioned
those things.
science. Well, you mentioned science, right? The if you look at the data, the majority of the people that play chess are in like on chess.com, they're like 800 to 900 rated.
Exactly. And so that's why I think it's a little, personally, a little insane that, people kind of just expect, or, really, I don't know, like, expect only to, like I said, have content that's like 2000 plus or 2200 plus, whatever, from those people. Yeah, that's not realistic. And plus, like, even with that, like, content in general, if you're like a casual player who's like 800, you're not keeping up with that. So, it's nice if we have more people who are, maybe around those levels, a little higher, like, mid-level chess players who could also kind of, how do I put this? Like, I guess bring attention to chess in a way to where even like your low-level player could understand it.
I think that's what we can do here. Now ask me. Ask me. Ask me. I want to use the magic wand.
So magic wand handed to you. So if there's one thing that you think it should or needs to be fixed, in chess community overall, what is it?
I would magically disappear all those skeez balls and assholes that don't make it welcoming for women. Like, out. Get out. I want them all
Is
out.
that something that you face a lot? You've been in the chess community for a much longer than I have. So that is something that you had to, you've seen happen then, right? Like,
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm lucky to be male presenting in most situations, right? And so I don't really have to deal with the harassment that I've seen in the community. But, we've talked about it. I've talked about it with plenty of other women, and Shahadi with her brave statements last year, or in 2020. No, it was last year, 2023. And exposing, some of the worst abusers in the chess world. But even not even just them. Like, I think it's we can get kick them out quickly, right? It's easy to get them out. But like, to change the culture where that is a to change the culture that is a wider cultural problem in chess, is very challenging. So if I had the magic wand, I'd be like, bing! All of you skeez balls and jerks wouldn't be harassing women at tournaments, right? And even in the microways and the microaggressions that they do, the leering, the all kinds of problems like that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an interesting topic overall because, it goes way outside of chess as well. It's one thing that's important, I think, to understand in general is that when you've had, like in history, when you had certain norms for such a long time, they don't like change overnight, even if they were toxic, right? Like,
That's
even though technically women got rights, what, or like rights to vote, over 100
right.
years ago now, it's not something that again just like instantly changes things, even if
That's
the
right.
rules change. It takes a lot of time. And so if people had a certain perspective for a very, very long time, right, that somebody should hold a certain role or they should hold it because of X, Y, Z, it's just again 100 years later, and it's still technically an issue to an extent, right? Some people still believe those things. So, and that goes for, I think, everything in general. Like, when there's like certain expectations of how things should be for a very long time, even when they change, the world doesn't just change with it. It takes long, long time.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. You know, and it's an uphill battle to fight.
Right.
You know, for complete gender equality, right?
Right.
But I think in the chess world, we need it, right?
Right.
We want it to be a welcoming place for everybody. Absolutely, so that's an important thing for me. Well, we can talk about that a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely something that we can discuss for sure.
Yeah. Maybe we can get Shahadi on here.
I would definitely be interested to hear more about her experiences. I mean,
yeah, she's an amazing person. For full disclosure, she was my editor at US Chess Online.
Awesome.
At one point. Yeah. Yeah. But I also just love her as a person. I think she's just an amazing person. And just breaking barriers. And the chess world has had a history of women breaking barriers in chess. Because you can go all the way back to like Vera Menchik in the 1920s and 30s.
Yeah.
Like,
she was would the first... be interesting to cover. Sorry to cut you off. She would be great to cover.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Yeah. No, I was just saying she'd be interesting. So, yeah, same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we got a...
Oh yeah,
a decent
definitely.
Chunk of something.
Right, we did. We did. We just have to put it together now.
Yeah, we can put it together. It'll be fun. And,
yeah.
And in general, I want the show to be fun. So I'm really, really happy that you're going to join me.
Oh, absolutely,
on this journey.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, even this was a lot of fun, and now I'm like motivated to get working on it because there's so much content that we can provide. To be honest.
Yeah, it's so cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, what we live in this amazing time.
I know.
Where you're in New York, I'm in LA.
I know.
And we can record this podcast together. So it's
true.
So cool.
There's so many interesting people in LA and New York for chess too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's
that'd
true.
Be great. And
true.
You know,
yeah,
if
I
you
know,
ever
I know Boston Mike.
Exactly. We can interview Boston Mike. That would be an awesome.
Oh my god.
That
would be
totally
so fun.
No,
oh,
definitely.
Boston Mike's a sweetheart.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I definitely would love to. That would be very popular. So.
Yeah, seriously.
People love it. Yeah, so let's do it. Okay.
Yeah, and
we...
the other thing is we got to get music, but we'll get that one step at a time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. One step at a time. Best way to go about it, for sure. And what the heck else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, we need to do like the final closing. Whatever.
Oh yeah, we need a closing.
Yeah.
What's gonna be like our call sign? I guess we don't know what the show's called yet. So.
No, not yet.
Yeah. So subscribe.
Yeah, I'll let you
like subscribe. Oh no, I mean, do everything that you do normally on Twitch, basically. Like, you
oh,
can
I
say
do
all
that
those.
On Twitch?
Do you do that on Twitch?
No.
Oh, you don't tell them to like, subscribe, and
I
all
say
that
to
thing?
Follow. Like social media. People follow. Like, oh. Yeah, maybe I should say it more often.
For
call
podcasting,
for action.
Subscribe.
Oh, okay, subscribe. Okay.
Yeah, our call to action, basically, yeah.
All right, okay. We can deliver the final thing. All right, I think that is it for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure to subscribe if you're interested in hearing more. You know, everything that's going on.
Yeah, thank you, Elena. I appreciate that. Go follow Elena. Go to kingchessfilm.com and definitely subscribe to this podcast. We're going to bring you a lot of original content. And we're just going to have fun. We're going to have fun playing chess and learning chess together. Like and subscribe.